Jumping jacks for the Lord. Oh, we praise your holy name. If you would, turn to James chapter 5. This is not our last week in James. I did say that last week. I didn't say for certain this was going to be our last week, but I said, well, I can't remember exactly what I said, but if I did say it was absolutely the last week, then I was wrong. I was mistaken. We got a week or so, a couple more weeks in it, but who cares? We're having a good time, right? We love James. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. So we're going to be in James chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 10 this morning. James 5 and verse 10. We're talking about trials this morning. We're talking about persecution. We're talking about trouble. Talking about those rainy days. Remember what Karen Carpenter said, rainy days and Mondays, what? Nobody knows that song? Rainy days and Mondays always bring. Oh man, we're not really talking about rainy days, but we're talking about trials. We're talking about those storms. We're talking about the fact that Satan hates your guts. And he doesn't want you to be obedient to the Lord's will. He doesn't want you to live in that place where the Lord wants you to live in. So he's going to come at you. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We serve a risen Savior, don't we? And he is mighty to save. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing this morning, Lord. It's your anointing that's going to set us free. It's your anointing that's going to break the yoke. Thank you, Father God, that your will be done in this service, Lord. That we will be obedient and we will do what you would have us do, Lord. Thank you for your encouragement and your strength and your mercy. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everyone in the church said, amen. 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 As an example, this is James 5 and verse 10. As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, Christian persecution, godly persecution, that's not a new thing. Now, it is on the rise. More people are being murdered now for the cause of Christ than ever before, and it's growing and growing and growing. And that's something we need to be concerned about, and that's something we need to pray about, because our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering. You know what I mean? And yeah, we're going through our attacks over here. That's true enough. You know, there's some mockery, some jeering, and different things like that. And yeah, we don't know if somebody might walk into a church service we're at and start shooting people. Satan's awful busy over here, and he's taking more and more ground. You know what I mean? He's trying to take everything that he can get his hands on. But, I mean, you got to remember this. You got to understand that in the end, we win. Amen? In the end, we win. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ across the sea. You know what I mean? They don't know. They don't know if they're going to make it or not. They don't know what's going to happen if they leave their house to go try and get food. Amen? So they're serious about their walk with the Lord. Amen? They're serious. They know that they can lose this earthly life any given moment because they love Jesus Christ. So they're not playing the games that we see a lot of games. They're not playing the same games that we see a lot over here in the Western church. Can I get a witness? They have a seriousness and an urgency to their walk. But Christian persecution isn't a new thing. It's growing, but it's been going on ever since God's had a people. You know, I mean, look at Cain. Cain killed Abel. A little jealousy. It's been going on for a long, long time. Amen? As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. James is saying, hey, check out these old school prophets, these prophets of old. You know, they had this high and this holy position, this powerful calling where they were used in such a mighty way for the Lord. But the Lord didn't allow them to be exempt from persecution. The Lord didn't allow them to be exempt from hard times, did he? So who in the world are we to think that, hey, just because I'm a Christian, that this world is going to leave me alone, right? That this world owes me something? I got news for you. This world doesn't owe us anything. We're not part of this world, amen? We're just pilgrims passing through, amen? And see, we're here with a mission. We're here with a mission from the Lord, and he has need of us. He wants to use us. Amen. We got to let our light shine. We got to be about our Father's business. We got to be obedient to what this book says. Amen. So when Satan sees that Christian that's fired up about being obedient to the Lord, he wants to knock your feet out from underneath you. Amen. And he will use anybody he can around you to try and trip you up. Amen. He'll come at you from any possible angle, trying to discourage you, trying to bring fear in, try to bring doubt in. Amen? If you would, look on the monitor at Hebrews 11 and verse 36. No need to turn there. But look, this is what some of our brothers and sisters of old went through. Some faced jeers and mocking. Now, I've faced a little bit of that mocking stuff in my day. You know what I mean? I've been in neighborhoods spreading the Lord's word, and people kind of goof on me and make fun of me. And there's been a time or two when it looked like I might, someone might jump on me and beat me up and stuff like that, because I was just out there doing what the Lord called me to do. I knew I was supposed to be in these neighborhoods, and every once in a while I would run into these roadblocks of opposition. You know what? But I was faithful, and when I was out there doing this, I saw fruit, and Satan saw that fruit, and Satan was like, oh, no way, dude. No way. See, Satan doesn't take it lying down, amen? He's going to come at us, amen? But if the worst I ever went through was somebody making fun of me because I'm out there witnessing for Jesus, man, do we have it made? Do we have it made? I mean, that's what we got to understand. That's nothing. That's nothing. We're about to read what happened to some of our brothers and sisters in the past. And, you know, it doesn't take you a long time to do a quick little search on the internet, read Fox Book of Martyrs. Our brothers and sisters are going through some horrendous, tormenting things just because they represent Jesus Christ. Amen? As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Look at these Old Testament believers. Look at these Old Testament prophets and see what they went through. Amen. And the Lord says, hey, man, if they went through that, then why in the world do you think that you are exempt from going through this? Now, be patient. Be patient. Understand a few things, that as bad as it can get here and now, it's only a temporary thing. The Lord is going to return. Amen. And he is going to right every single wrong. You know what I mean? Every single wrong is going to be righted. Did I say that righted? Yeah. Okay. God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Hebrews 11 and 36. Some faced jeers. That's mocking. Some faced flogging. While still others were chained and put in prison. That's going on, isn't it? They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Now, as far as I know you guys a little bit, we can't underline or check off that we've been through a lot of those. You know what I mean? Maybe some mocking, maybe some jeering, maybe a little tiny baby persecution. You know what I mean? Why are you bringing this up, Paul? It's because we can get in such a bad place in our minds, man, where we think that we have just got the worst life in the world. You know what I mean? This Christian road is so hard, and everybody, you know, is goofing on me and all that. Man, think about your brothers and sisters across the ocean. You see what I'm saying? We don't have it bad. We don't have it bad, but we can't be complacent. We can't be blasé. We got a job to do. Amen. One of the things we got to be praying for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. But we really have to be about our Father's business now, here and now. When we are in this time where Satan is busy, there's no doubt about that, but he's still shooting from the dark. He's still sneaking around, and he's busy behind the scenes. And I'm saying we can wake up one day real fast, and everything's changed in our little world. You know what I mean? But see, we got to be focused on the mission. We got to be about our Father's business, but we got to get into this Word of God. We've got to build ourselves up. Amen? We got to learn to trust in the Lord right now because we don't know what's coming in the days ahead. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. If God didn't spare those Old Testament prophets, who in the world are we to think that we can just scoot by? If we're the army, you know what I mean? If we're the Lord's army, remember that song? The songs we used to sing? And remember that? What is that about, man? Well, armies aren't created, aren't formed to retreat. They're not formed to sit on the bench. You know what I mean? The Lord is raising up an army to take back what Satan has stolen from us. You know what I mean? To go kick Satan in the teeth. To be some intercessors. Amen? Because we don't have the same weapons that the world has. Amen? Our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons are dynamite powerful. And all God's people said, dynamite powerful. Amen. John 15 and verse 20. Look at that real fast, okay? John 15 and verse 20. This is super, super convicting right here. Because sometimes we get in this place where we think, hey, because I'm a Christian, you know, life shouldn't be this hard. And that's nowhere in the scripture, man. That is nowhere in the scripture. Have you ever said anything like this? God, I have served you. I have been faithful. I have done this and I've done that. And my life is so stinking hard right now. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Hey, you know what? The Lord doesn't owe you anything. Look at this, John 15 and verse 20. Remember the words I spoke to you? The next time we get in that self-pity mode, remember this. Remember the words I spoke to you? This is Jesus. No servant is greater than his master. Did you know that? No servant is greater than his master. You ain't greater than Jesus. Those prophets that suffered weren't greater than Jesus. Amen. You certainly aren't. I'm certainly not greater than Jesus. And they hated his guts. They hated his guts. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, okay, well, that raises a little question. Did they persecute Jesus? They sure did. They sure did. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. You need to underline that. They will persecute you also. If they came against our Lord and Savior, and we're certainly not greater than him, not by any stretch of the imagination, they, the world, the worldly system, anything that Satan can use or manipulate to come against you, will come against you. Amen? Satan's not playing games. Now, we need to understand this, that when we step out into the world, when we step into Satan's territory, when we give into temptation, you hear what I'm saying? Satan's not playing games. And now he'll lure you in back into the world. Hey, come on back. Come on back. You missed so much while you've been gone. Hey, where you been, man? You look good. You're losing weight. He comes like an angel of light. Man, we've been waiting for you. We're about to turn it up a couple notches, man. We're about to have some fun now. And what is he doing? He's wrapping his tentacles around you. And he's about to pull you in deeper and deeper, and he's going to expose it. You know what I mean? We got to realize that he's not our friend. Even though things look so tempting sometimes. Amen? Can I get a witness? Amen. It's just a lie from the devil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Because you belong to the Lord, because you represent the Lord to a lost and dying world, you are the aroma of death to those that are perishing. Amen. Those people, some people, they don't even realize it, but you are a constant everyday reminder to them, amen, of their future, of their intimate judgment. You know what I mean? And so Satan's going to use that to his advantage. Amen. Are you with me? To try and come against you, even if it's just mocking you, goofing on you, you know, around the cubicle or whatever's going on, or if it's slitting your throat on a beach in a jumpsuit. You know what I'm saying? But no matter what happens, because the Lord doesn't always, listen, the Lord doesn't always take us around the trial, does he? He does not take us around those trials too much, too often. But when we go through those trials, whatever it is, whether it's your truck breaking down or you can't get enough money to pay your bills and you've been tithing, you've been doing everything, just trust in the Lord because he is faithful. He is faithful. You can't outgive him. Amen. He's going to work it out. Amen. And Satan sees that if you're using your vehicle to be a blessing, if Satan knows, he sees when you're using your vehicle to help the needy, to help the homeless, to drive people around. Well, he's not thrilled about that. Amen. He don't like that. So he's going to come at any angle he can. But see, what does our verse say this morning? Be patient. Be patient. Realize that it might get tough. It might get hard. You know what I mean? But in the end, we win. Amen? We're going to be victorious. Are y'all with me? Oh, the Lord is good. That's all I'm trying to say, Steve. 2 Timothy. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Oh, that's on the monitor too. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life. Is that you? If you want to live a godly life, it ain't the easy way to go. Why? Because you're a threat to Satan's program. You know what I mean? You're taking back that ground that was stolen. You know what I mean? He hates that. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. You got to remember that. In Christ Jesus. You can't live a godly life without Christ Jesus. You're going to fall on your face every single stinking time. Amen. You might take a couple steps forward, but you're going to end up taking 8 back. You can't do it on your own power. You can't live a godly life without he that is greater in you. I don't think I said that right. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. I get tongue-tied. Amen, Brother Michael Jones. Amen. We can't live that godly life on our own. Amen. But we have that Holy Spirit. If we love Jesus and we belong to him, we have that Holy Spirit. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will have everything he ever wanted. I tricked you. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Amen. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be trials and tribulations and storms. And not everything's going to always go your way. But I have that Holy Spirit who strengthens me. Amen. Even though life is hard and there's much pain, we are to be patient. And let's begin to focus on the fact that we are only here for a tiny little season, a tiny little portion of our eternity. Amen? I mean, it's going to get really, really good in just a minute. You know what I mean? Give them some praise. And we need to understand this. The more you stand for the Lord, the more opposition you can expect. And it can come in the form of a betrayal by those who you never thought would ever do you wrong. It can come from those people closest to you, like Peter and Jesus. When Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know what I'm talking about? Like I said, Satan knows his time's running out. He knows time's short, and he's grasping and trying to reach any tool he can to take you out. Amen? James 5 and verse 11. "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Amen? "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." Now, James talked about this, I believe, in our very first week in chapter 1, that we're blessed when we endure through those trials because the Lord's trying to teach us something. Amen? He's allowing you to go through this. He had to allow this to come into your life. You understand that? Matter of fact, he's talking about Job right here. And that's a perfect example about how Satan cannot do everything he wants to do against a believer. You know what I mean? That the Lord had to allow those things to happen to Job. Amen? And James has been telling us since chapter 1, endure through this trial, stand firm, and learn the lessons. Grow in that relationship with the Lord. Grow in that intimacy. Don't try and get out of it, but learn what the Lord is trying to teach you through it. Amen? If we don't, we're going to keep going around that mountain. You know what I mean? Amen, brother. Amen, brother Michael. You know, some of us, let's be honest, some of us keep going through the same stinking trials over and over and over and over again, man. So we're just spending 40 years in that wilderness, man, because we're not learning what the Lord has been trying to teach us. And he's like, "Man, I really, really got some use for you here. But we're still way back here, man. We're still in training pants." But he's gracious and he's merciful and he's so tender, ain't he? "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job." We've all heard about Job. Okay, nobody in here, nobody ever has ever went through the trials like Job went through, man. You know what I mean? He had it all, and he lost it all, man, just like that. I mean, talk about monuments. He was like sitting on top of like an ashtray monument, you know? Just a heap of broken nothingness, man. Scraping his bobos, scraping his sores with broken pottery. And his wife saying, "Curse God and die, Job." You know, and his buddies coming around and saying, "Man, you did something wrong, brother. You just did something wrong." But see, Job, we can learn a lot from Job, amen? He went through so much devastation. He lost so much, but he endured. He endured. And the Lord blessed him. Blessed him bigger than he ever could imagine. And that's what we need to talk about for a second as well, guys. Listen to this. I know sometimes our hearts get so heavy because of the attacks from us, from the world. And when we've been hurt by our loved ones, our relatives, nothing hurts. We talked about this last week, you know. We expect the world to come against us because we belong to Jesus. You know, that's kind of par for the course. We know that's going to happen. But it hurts and it devastates when a loved one, a relative, a friend comes against you. You know what I mean? And so we can deal with so many things at one time. And Satan loves to pile it on. He wants to come in like a flood. Amen. He doesn't just want to knock you off your feet, but he wants to take you out to sea where no one's ever hears of you again. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? He wants to take you out of the fight. He wants to destroy us. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. Nobody's ever been through that kind of mess. Amen. But God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him like he couldn't even imagine. So when your loved ones come against you, when nothing seems to be working out, stand on the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to discouragement. Don't get into the flesh. Don't fight fire with fire. You see what I'm saying? We don't fight like the world fights. You know what I'm saying? We're not part of the world. I mean, listen, we got to be wise as serpents, and we got to be as harmless as doves. We got to be obedient to what this good book says. We have to use wisdom. What I'm trying to say this morning is, I know sometimes our hearts are just so heavy, and the news can just completely steal our joy. And that's just the stuff that they're allowing us to know about. And we know that the stuff that they're allowing us to hear about, they've tweaked and distorted it for their own little agenda and stuff like that. So we can get discouraged real fast. It's going to get good. That's all I'm trying to say. It's going to get really, really good. Amen. Just like Job lost everything, he got more back than he ever could imagine. You see what I'm trying to say this morning? We are going to be in a place in just a few short seconds. I mean, I'm not going to, like, start hitting people on the head or something like that. I'm not like, Rick, bring out the Kool-Aid. Let's do this. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm saying in the big scheme of things, man, it's about to get really, really awesome, better than we can ever imagine. So give them some praise. People got worried there for a second. James 5 and verse 11. Part C. And you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Whatever the Lord allows to come into your life, and let's make no mistake about it, He has allowed this to come into your life, but He still loves you. And His ways are so far above our ways that we can't even understand. Like, God, you know this is more than I can handle. And He'll say, no, it's not. No, it's not. His ways are above our ways, and He allows these things to come into our life. But we need to understand this, that every single thing that He allows to come into your life that seems like it could destroy you, He's allowed it for your growth. He's allowed it for your growth. He's allowed it for our good. Amen? And for His glory. And how we handle these trials, these tribulations, these persecutions, we can give the Lord so much glory, amen, by not getting into the flesh, amen, by not acting the fool, amen, but standing on His Word and saying, this is how the Word tells me how I act when someone comes against me. I'm going to turn the other cheek. I am going to forgive. And guess what? God gets glory out of that, and that is a powerful witness that other people see. You know what I mean? And the Lord will use your life to plant seeds into other people. Amen. Psalm 34 and verse 18, right there. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. This verse right here is so amazingly powerful. Because we got to understand this, and I'm sure we got it by now. You know, God doesn't always lead us around that trial. You know what I mean? He's allowed that trial, and He's going to march us right through that trial. But He's not going to let the waves overtake us. He's not going to let the fire consume us. Amen. He's close to the brokenhearted. When it looks like everything's falling apart, that is when He is closer than ever. That's when He's rolling up His sleeves. That's when He's getting involved. You see what I'm saying? That's when He's really digging in. When you need Him, He's right there. Amen. I know, His presence is everywhere. He sees everything. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. We know that, but what I'm saying is when you need Him the most, He is running towards you. Amen? He is your loving Father, and just like when I see one of my little ones fall down on the ground, I laugh at them for a second. No, I don't. Rachel does, though. But just... give Rachel a hand. When one of your little ones get hurt, you know, you're running to them. And they're crying out to you. Man, you're running to them. And you pick them up and you squeeze them and you want to make them feel better. And there's only so much power we have here. You know what I mean? But see, our Lord, the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe, when our hearts are broken, and sometimes our hearts do get broken, because we get betrayed by people we love, man. We get betrayed by the dude across the hall from you at work, man. You know, people will do you wrong. The world will come against you. Things get scary sometimes. But when we cry out to the Lord, there he is, man. There he is. He's an ever-present help in time of our need. Amen? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen. Can I get a witness? Okay, let's go to the next slide, the last slide, and all God's people said. Amen. That's right. Okay, so you guys are, we've been in this study for 16 weeks now, and as you are very familiar with, James will change directions, man. Every author in the Bible, every author that the Lord used to write his scriptures have different personalities. They have different ways of writing, okay? And James kind of jumps around a little bit. But you'll notice he kind of jumps back and forth between issues. Like, hey, let's talk about this again for a second. Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about this. Kind of something like that. So it's really, really cool. So he is changing directions a little bit. And now he's not so much talking about persecution from the world or the godly being persecuted by the ungodly or the pagan, but he's talking about how we are to act again for a second, okay? And he is winding down his book. We're towards the end of this book that we've been in for 16 weeks now. Okay, so James 5 and verse 12, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." So what this verse is about integrity, man. It's about being a man or a woman of our word. Amen. And see, what James is saying here is, how can I say this? Your reputation should have enough weight to it to where your yes should be enough, or your no should be enough. People should know that, hey, this guy is a Christian, he is a man of his word. And that used to be how people could look at it. You know what I mean? That used to be the way people could look at it right there. I know that guy, he goes to that church right there, he's a Christian fellow, well, he's going to do everything in his power to keep his word. I hate to say it, but that's not exactly how it is nowadays. You know what I mean? We got so much of the world in the church. You know what I'm saying? James is saying, listen, no need for no humongous, extravagant oath. You know, I swear on my mother's Bible that is in her coffin that is buried in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, you know, that I will be there to pick up that chicken pot pie. I give you that on my mother's Bible that is buried in whatever. You know what I'm saying? Well, see, our words should be enough. Now, the reason why James goes into it like that, talking about all these crazy oaths and stuff, is Jesus himself spoke against this stuff a couple times too in the Gospels. This was a thing that the Hebrews would do. Some oaths would be binding by how you worded them. Some oaths would not be binding by how you worded them. So it was all about deception and trickery. Amen? And James is like, no. We're Christian folks. We don't do that. It's like this. Like, remember when you were little and you could talk to your mom or your dad, or you could talk to anybody, especially your friends, and if you crossed your fingers behind your back, remember that? It wasn't binding. Like, I did it. I promise I did it. You know what I mean? And the whole time you're lying, and you know you're lying, but you got a clear conscience because you got your I got my fingers crossed. You know what I mean? That's how this whole thing was. It's super weird to our culture, but that's how they were. I wrote down a couple little examples here. Okay, you could swear by the temple, and that would mean nothing. I swear by the temple in Jerusalem that I'm going to feed your kitten while you're gone. And then they come back and your kitten's dead and you're like, I swore by the temple, dude. I don't mean nothing. It was all deception and trickery. But see, if you swore by the gold of the temple, then that was binding. So you had to listen really, really close and you had to be in the know of what was cool, what was hip. Okay? People were using this to trick folks. You see what I'm saying? James is like, no, we don't do that in church. Christian folks, we don't want to. Satan is a deceiver. The world who follows Satan deceives. Amen. But we're not of the world. We're just pilgrims passing through. Amen. We want to be obedient to what our book says. We want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to have an awesome and powerful and mighty witness. Amen. Y'all with me? But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So if we don't want to deal with any painful consequences, raise your hands if you don't want to deal with any painful consequences. This is an easy enough one not to do, man. Be honest. Let's be people of our word. You know what I mean? And that's a powerful witness right there. Keep your word, man. And all God's people say, If we don't want those painful consequences, if we don't want to have to reap what we sow, then all we have to do is be honest. That's easy enough, isn't it? Unless this is a stronghold in our life, unless this is one of those things that we've been dealing with for a long, long time, then that's like, no, this is kind of really, really hard, dude. I can't stop lying. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Thank you for your anointing this week, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are such a faithful God and a giving God and a merciful God. Thank you that you are going to strengthen us, Lord. You are going to strengthen us so we will be obedient to your word, Lord, that you will give us a hunger and a desire to be everything that you want this church to be, that you want our families to be, that you want us to be as individuals, Lord. Thank you for blessing everybody that couldn't be here today. Bless everybody that was playing hooky today. Bless everybody on vacation today. Thank you, Father God. We ask you right now, as a family, Lord, we come before you and we ask you to bless the families that have lost loved ones fighting for our freedom, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that as Christians, Lord, we will be thankful, Father God, for the privilege to live in this nation, Lord, where so many brave men and women laid down their life so we could be free, Lord Jesus. Let us never take it for granted again, Lord. And most of all, Lord God, let us be thankful, Lord, for your Son, Lord, who gave us the ultimate sacrifice, who laid down his life so we could be free. We love you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, now listen, here's what we got going on for Memorial Day, which is tomorrow. Something special, something we like to call the Men's Bible Study. It's at 1:30 at Whataburger, and it's on Stewart Street, and we'd love to have you come out. We also have something going on Wednesday night. We're going to stretch out a Memorial Day celebration throughout the week. Wednesday, we're going to have something at 7 p.m. It's called Bible Study. Here at the church at 7 p.m., we have something for every single age group. But unfortunately, we do not have childcare for our Wednesday nights. But we do have a little kid class, we have a teen class, and we have an adult class. And I love you guys very much, and I ain't lying to you right now. Brother Donnie, why don't you take us home?
Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God, and allow us to remember those that died and lived to, so we can have the freedom we have, Father God. Father God, we just ask to be a blessing to someone. In Jesus' name, amen.